Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And today we celebrate Senior Sunday in PSBC. But since this is a sermon, I will also address all of us who are growing older, whether in the process of becoming teens, adulting, or learning to be seniors. Therefore, we seek the Lord in today's passage, that all of us may be edified and God glorified. Let us pray. God our Father, speak your truth to us this day and prepare our hearts and minds to be good soil so that the seed of your word can take root in our lives, that it may convict us, challenge us, and change us, allowing us to bear good fruits as we grow according to your will. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. 20 years ago, I went for a road trip with my family to Victoria, Australia, and I was studying there, so my parents and my brother flew over to join me. And that was still in the era of the compact disc CDs, and our rented car would have a CD player. And so to keep us entertained for that long drive, the family compiled some of their favorite songs into a few CDs, and our selection of songs ranged from those that were more upbeat to those that were a bit more melancholic. So my father chose songs from his favorite groups and singers like the Jackson 5, Luther Vandross, and so on. And for myself, I chose Johnny Mathis, Simon and Art Garfunkel, The Cascades, and so on. I think some of you will know these songs, while the others would wonder who are they. These songs were our favorites, and not only because we know how to sing them, but because it reminds us of the past. For example, I like The Cascades because their song Rhythm of the Rain reminds me of a time I spent with my secondary school friends at a chalet. And I'm familiar with Johnny Mathis because my father and grandfather loved him and listened to his songs for the longest time, and so it reminds me of my time with them. Many of us here would have our list of favorite songs as well, regardless of whether they are sung in English or Mandarin, hymns or classical pieces. And these songs remind us of our happy memories or special moments of growing up. And today's psalm, which is either song or poetry, informs and reminds us of the character and nature of God. While it is one of the many psalms composed by David, it is also one of the more theologically profound psalms because it reveals to us the very being of God that brings us to our knees. Even though we are not certain of the time and composition of the psalm, we know it was significant to David because it possibly reminded him of God's assurance of forgiveness, that his great sin in the case of Bathsheba and Uriah was forgiven. Nonetheless, most scholars attributed it to David's later years when he had a higher sense of sin and understands the value of God's character. Therefore, Psalm 103 is where the foundational knowledge of God meets the human experience. And for us to unpack this, I have structured this sermon into 3 points. Growing to know who God is, verse 1 to 5. Growing to know how God relates to us, verse 6 to 19. And growing to know God together, verse 20 to 22. In the first 5 verses of this psalm, the psalmist David wrote of a command to praise God. It is a reminder for his own soul and all that is within him, his entire inner being, is to praise God. In fact, the call to worship and praise to God brackets this psalm. The first bracket is in verse 1 to 5, and the second bracket is in the concluding verses 20 to 22. In these verses, David declares that God is worthy of praise, for he has done much in his life. God forgave wrongdoings, healed and delivered his people from destruction, and redeemed the oppressed. God granted his steadfast love and mercy to the righteous and satisfied the thirst and hunger of those who sought him. God renewed, rejuvenated, and strengthened. David's grateful praise to God is a result of his experience of him. And those experiences of God throughout his earlier years reinforced his knowledge of who God is. When David was a young shepherd boy, his flock of sheep encountered a lion or a bear, God would allow him to kill his predators and rescue the taken lamb. This experience reinforced David's understanding of God's faithfulness and protection and gave him courage and confidence. And so when he confronted Goliath, he was certain that God would deliver Goliath into his hand. The point is, David's knowledge of God becomes reinforced by his experience. And his experience continued to support the knowledge of who God is. And from both knowledge and experience, it contributed to David's deepening of his personal relationship with God. You ask, can knowledge or experience be mutually exclusive or separated from each other? I don't think so, especially in the context of building a relationship with God. For it is first the theology or knowledge of God that shapes our experience of God. But inasmuch, it is also our personal experience of God that helps us reinforce the knowledge of God. It is through knowledge and experience that we grow to know who God is. And so what does this mean for us today? Moments ago, the Senior Members Fellowship sang "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And I remember learning that song when I was in my primary school. So when I sang that song in my younger days, the lyrics tell me of Jesus being my friend. And so from there, I know Jesus can be a friend whom I can talk to. Back then, I was very young and it did not mean much to me. I asked questions like, what does it mean to have a friend in Jesus? Or why is it a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer? And now that I'm much older and had some life experiences, the lyrics become a rich reminder that the Lord Jesus is a friend I could rely on. He always stuck around and has always been walking with me through all my good and my bad days. He is not only my Lord and Savior, but also my friend, and my life experiences reinforced that knowledge. The knowledge of God shapes our experience of God. It is also through our personal experiences of God that help us reinforce who He is. And therefore, it is through both knowledge and experience that we grow to know who God is. And this thought gets further refined in the following verses. From verses 6 to 19, David wrote of God's character, in particular, God's grace, forgiveness, and compassion. God works righteousness and justice for those who are oppressed as He brought Moses and his people out of Egypt. God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. And this steadfast love of God is described as unending and immeasurable that it can overcome sin and death. Now, through these imageries painted by David's words, God revealed himself as a compassionate, forgiving, and loving Father. Now, what does it mean for us today to know God's character? According to Reformer John Calvin's doctrine of God, knowing God helps us to know ourselves and vice versa. He explains this in the opening chapter of the first volume of his Institutes of the Christian Religion, and he wrote, "For in the first place, no man can survey himself without forthwith turning his thoughts toward the God in whom he lives and moves. Because it is perfectly obvious that the endowments which we possess cannot possibly be from ourselves. Nay, that our very being is nothing else than subsistence in God alone." In other words, for man to know himself, he must first understand that everything he has comes from God. Even our very ability to live is sustained by God. And Calvin continues, "On the other hand, it is evident that man never attains to a true self-knowledge until he have previously contemplated the face of God and come down after such contemplation to look into himself. For, such is our innate pride, we always seem to ourselves just and upright and wise and holy until we are convinced by clear evidence of our injustice, vileness, folly, and impurity. Simply put, man cannot have true knowledge of himself until he has contemplated the face of God, and then look inward and find ourselves depraved, corrupted, sinful, vain, and weak. It is only then when we see our own fallenness that we aspire to God, who is the true light of wisdom, solid virtue, and exuberant goodness. In short, the knowledge of God and knowledge of ourselves and our experiences are bound together by a mutual tie. Knowing that God is compassionate to his people, as recorded in Scripture, should compel us to look into ourselves, and that we find that we are not as good as who we think we are, and therefore we need God's compassion. Knowing that God is forgiving to David should compel us to look inward to ourselves and see that we are not that different from David, and therefore we too need God's forgiveness. Knowing that God is a loving father to his children should compel us to stop being selfish and therefore to love God as our Father who loves us. The knowledge of God and self and our experiences help us grow to know how God relates to us. In the final verses of this psalm, David praised God, but not in the same way as his opening verses. Now, these verses seem to be building to a crescendo of praise, from a calling to all angels to praise God, to calling the whole created order to praise God. From "Praise the Lord, O my soul," at the beginning, to calling all creation to sing out its praise. The psalmist is as if raising his voice alongside with the heavenly hosts and all those on earth to praise God. And this communion of praise is of a cosmic level. And through this psalm, you would see a movement from the psalmist's self-exhortation to a cosmic call to worship through a reminder of who God is and all that he has done for his people. In the same manner, we started today's sermon, exhorting us to grow to know God through the knowledge of God and self and our experiences. And we end with the exhortation to grow to know God as a larger community. The senior brothers and sisters among us have been living much longer, and therefore they have many more life experiences. While this may or may not translate to more encounters in God, they are still a treasure trove of experience which we could learn from. For me, I am 43 years old this year. I have less than half a decade of experience to rely on. And so for experiences which I do not have, I would have to gain them through reading and through my conversations with people. It is through my conversations with people that my theology interacts with my life experience. It is where rubber meets the road. So befriend our seniors and mutually encourage one another. The idea is not to interrogate them for stories, but get to know them and to befriend them. Some will share more, and some who are more private may not share as much. But from it, you may hear testimonies of God's provision, his faithfulness, healing, and love in their lives. I have heard quite a few testimonies from the seniors myself, but it's not in the right occasion for me to share them. But I assure you, if you talk to them, you might be surprised. A few years ago, some of you might recall, I signed up as a volunteer with a non-profit organization named Back Alley Barbers, and I learned the skill of barbering. I really don't remember much now, so don't come to me for a haircut. Unless botak, then can. The Back Alley Barbers has Christian foundations, and its founder is a good friend of mine. While the obvious objective of the organization is to give free haircuts, its underlying objective is to encourage beneficiaries through conversation with them as we give the haircuts. So during the pandemic, I had to go to a senior activity center in Bukit Merah for a haircut assignment. I got to give a haircut to one of the seniors and started a conversation with her in Mandarin. And she said this. She said, I have 8 children. All of them are grown up already and have their own families. And as I cut her hair, I replied, well, it must be really challenging looking after all 8 of them as they grow up. And she said this that stunned me. She said, Nola, it is much harder now. So hard that none of them got time to visit me. But I could tell she was very discouraged by the pandemic and was affected by the loneliness. And we were thankful that we could encourage her for a little. But as I reflected on that conversation, I realized that I too must be intentional in spending time with my parents, and it also made me realize the importance of a church community and having a sense of belonging. It is through the knowledge of God and self and our experiences through ours and others that we grow to know God together. How does this look like for us as a church? PSPC is a multi-generational church, and as all churches should be, it is inclusive as well. This means we do not just focus on welcoming, discipling, and ministering to a single generational group, whether youth, young adults, adults, or seniors. We welcome all age groups into this church community. Every individual here is part of the PSPC community and by extension, also part of the larger Presbyterian and Christian community in Singapore and the world. And so perhaps for those of us who are not yet seniors, do take time to appreciate the seniors among them. Talk to them. For the youth among us, you can consider teaching the seniors your basic slang words. Teach them what flex means. Teach them who a boomer is and what it means to be sus. Of course, there are even newer words, and I think you know them more than me, but you know what I mean. Share with them. And through these conversations, you can possibly be gifted with a story of God's work in their lives and how they have been faithful to them as well. Because it is through the knowledge of God and self and experiences through ours and others that we grow together as a church to know God. Now, for those of us who are seniors, do share your experiences with God to the rest of us. Share of how you came to Christ or how you moved to PSPC. And these stories can be greatly encouraging to us. Sometimes even just a word of encouragement is enough for us. Because you have gone through much and your encouragement is more effective than you think. A few years ago, I visited a patient in St. Andrew's Community Hospital. The man was a divorcee in his late 50s, and he was paralyzed from a fall. He used to work in PUB, collecting water samples all over Singapore. But on one fateful afternoon on his way home after work, he tripped and fell on the pavement, and he couldn't get up. He later found out that he had a spinal cord injury, and it caused him to be paralyzed. When I spoke to him, he was really dejected. He cried and lamented at how he will not be able to care for his 2 daughters, who were then 20 and 25 years old. He was also sad that he could no longer go to church on Saturdays and Sundays to worship and serve. He said that his days have become meaningless because now all he can do is stare at the ceiling and watch the fan. I continued to visit him for a few more occasions, praying for him and encouraging him. And then after 2 weeks or so, I asked how he was doing because he seemed to be in better spirits. He said he was still sad that this happened to him, but was trying to slowly adapt. He planned to get extra help as soon as the doctor lets him go home. His daughter was also planning to buy a hospital bed for him to be placed at home. And then he said this. He said, good thing I can still speak a little. Even though I cannot move, I can still sing hymns. I can still encourage the nurses and other patients with my mouth. I think having that alone is enough. My senior brothers and sisters, we may be getting on in age and do not have the energy we used to or serve in the capacity as we used to do. But as long as we are able to talk or write, we can still encourage and share our experiences with one another. Because it is through the knowledge of God and self and experiences through ours and others that we grow together to know God. We all have our list of favorite songs, and it reminds us of a time when we were younger or a special moment in our lives. And Psalm 103 reminds us that it is where the foundational knowledge of God meets with the human experience. That the knowledge of God and self and experiences through ours and others help us to grow together in God. On this Senior Sunday, we are reminded that PSBC is a multi-generational church and we can grow together in God through the sharing of the knowledge of God, of ourselves, and our experiences. Amen.